from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
I don't know what we said that had the Circus Sports Illinois hotline light up. Dan Bernstein.
Oh, boy.
I was calling Shane. He told me to call him on this number. I'm not trying to go on the air.
Oh, well, you're on the air. What happened?
I caught a fish for Shane.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
Yeah. Hall of Fame fisherman, both freshwater and saltwater.
Really?
He's in two different fishing halls of fame. Wow.
Do I go get it?
Where have you been? Get your ass down here.
Should I go? Should I go get a divvy bike and go get the fish from him?
I'm right in front of Buckingham Fountain.
And what is special about this fish?
Shane wanted to cook up a freshwater drum. If he's got to get here, and we probably have to gut it and ice it.
Ice.
So this is Shane's way of asking permission to leave.
Yes. Right. I'm going to come back and finish the podcast, but can I go get the fish?
Yeah, go get the fish.
All right, I'm going to go get
it. Hi, everyone. I just want to reach out and let you know that I just realized that I'm not going to be able to continue.
How big is it, Dan? So to speak.
I think it's probably 4 or 5 pounds.
We got weights and fish.
There we go.
There it is.
All right.
I'm coming.
Hawk leaves a booth to go check on Todd Frazier. Shane leaves a booth to go get a fish from Dan Bernstein.
Yeah.
When we find out.
I'm going downstairs. You take over, okay? All right. I just saw him.
And?
It's a good use of your time.
Absolutely.
All right. This is very exciting.
I will be back here before you
That's
guys.
That's great.
Shane Reardon trying to take some liberties.
If you come back with Dan on ice, that's fine.
I saw that show. It's actually pretty good.
Yeah, is this the Penguin?
Is it
Bernstein? I call you the Penguin because I saw you in person and you look like Danny DeVito.
I was wearing a tuxedo probably.
Yeah, did they throw fish at you?
One, two, three,
and here we go, Tim.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons from 2 to 6 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
And I've got to say, while I was skeptical that we would ever see Shane again, given that he left and was very much not back by the time we got off the air, the podcast was uploaded and the fish tacos were delicious.
Yeah, they were really good. They were really good. I'm glad. This is a bit that Dan and I have been working on for quite a while, and he finally caught one. He caught one last week, but I was off, so I couldn't get over there to get it. But I told him, if you catch a drum, which you might know is like a grunt or a sheep's head or something like that in the Midwest, I'm going to come and get it. We're going to fillet it. We're going to gut it. We're going to eat it on the show. We did that. It was awesome. It all came together. Just standard like Mexican taco with fish, just cilantro, red onion, lime, hot sauce. I took our guy who I know, Danny, you've got shirts from, the Salsa King of Chicago.
Yeah.
Took his salsa, blended it with some crema. No, it's not Peter Hansen.
Though.
No.
Okay.
Salsa King of Chicago. I blended his stuff with some crema, his hot salsa. Get it at Julio Mariano's. And it just brought it all together, brought a little heat aspect. And
nice.
I think they were nice. I think
they were.
The tacos were nice.
They were nice. And it had a kick.
Yeah, it's hot.
Yeah.
I mean, he said, do you want hot or mild? I said, Salsa King of Chicago, give me the hot.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's why I cut it with the crema, and it was still very hot.
I had the mild when he came out to Harry Carey's, but yeah. I think I like the hot one better.
Yeah.
As you were outside,
the hot's incredible.
Guzzling water out of the water fountain.
I just wasn't expecting it. It took a huge bite. I was like, oh, damn. That took a real kick.
It was hot, but it's a good fish. The drum's a good fish, and I hope he catches more, and I hope we can do it again.
That's
but
cool, man.
It's so much, like, I love food sustainability and, like, knowing where your food's coming from. So when you can go start to finish, like, hey, I saw Dan catch this fish out of the water.
That's pretty cool.
And then I cleaned it myself. It's great.
Yeah.
No middleman.
That was excellent.
You just do a little, you open up a fun little business, you and Dan. Your fish and fry
business.
We've got a
we should.
We've got a food truck idea for Shane.
Oh yeah?
Wani's in for $50K.
Really?
I don't know if Wani said 50. I think Wani said 10.
It's a listener said 10. I think Wani's in for 50.
Tanny's guy Paul Correct said 10. Paul's in for 10. I don't think Wani would ever give me $50,000.
I think Wani's in for
that's
50.
That's all I would need. I wouldn't even need listener Paul.
That's what I'm saying. But it's a little something extra for you. Keep a little for incidentals.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, I think Wani's in for 50, okay. He said.
Very so cool.
I was going to hold him to that.
Thanks,
one.
Wani. Appreciate you and Jan so much.
Yeah, I'm going to put that out there.
Mazel is...
And if he's got a 50 for me, you know, just throw me a 50K, throw his Tanny, whatever.
Yeah, Bears.
It'll be fine. Yeah, Bears. Yeah,
everybody. Exactly. We're all rich with the Bears now, right?
Yeah. Bears. Certainly not with the Cubs, dude. This series that gets underway tonight in Milwaukee, there's the Craig Council return. We'll hear some from Carter Hawkins here in a little bit. You said you want to talk about PCA. We can certainly do that. They are in last place, and we are past the halfway point of the season. They are 10.5 games out, and while I do not expect this to happen in any way, it feels like one of the last hopes, because last year it was that 8-game winning streak and the Talkman catch and the Morel homer and that stretch of baseball before the deadline. So obviously the season is not over if they lose this series, but it will feel like the division is over. That is what I think is on the line in this series. Like, if you lose the series to the Brewers and you fall to 11.5 games out of first place, and they continually get the upper hand with you. They took 3 of 4 from you.
Yeah, I was going to say
the last time that you played them, you got to them for 2 of 3 back at the beginning of May. But this series must win feels ridiculous when it is this early in the season, and it technically isn't because there is more time left and all of that. But it feels like one of the last chances to turn this thing around. Like, you sweep the Brewers, there will be a little bit of jolt of life in the team, in the city, in the discussion around this team. If you can go to Milwaukee and sweep them, lose the series, it's going to feel insurmountable for the division.
I agree with you. And honestly, I was thinking about this. That series where the Cubs lost 3 out of 4 to the Brewers there, that's what set this sort of legitimate trail for Milwaukee, where at the end of that series I was like, okay, that team is actually for real, at the exact time that a lot of us were wondering, when's this team going to start to fail? Because they weren't supposed to be one of those teams that was good. Unfortunately, there is a decent amount of legitimacy to the Milwaukee Brewers, and they've got some legitimate Cubs killers on their team as well. So yeah, I agree with you. I also think, like, the way that I've been watching these Cubs games, each and every one of them has that big feel to it. And I get it, like a team like San Francisco, different division and all of that. But just day to day, one of these days, they have to start putting a streak together. So every day is a stressful watch for the Cubs, and oftentimes they are not able to stack wins together. They get one yesterday, but even that took a very high stress level to get there.
Yeah, you're right. There's desperation attached to all of these games. It's high stress. But playing this team, it's the first place team in your division. They're your biggest rival. You stole their manager from them. Like, these games do feel bigger to me. Do they not to you?
Oh, no, absolutely. Oh, okay. 100%.
All right.
I mean, I know that we can make this feel better by looking at the wild card race and all that, but the first line that I look at always still is the division. Where is it? 10.5? 11?
You're 11 back in the loss column, 10.5 in the standings, because you haven't played the same number of games.
That's absolutely where I'm still looking, because I look at that to evaluate the team as a whole. How are you relative to what is not a great division? And then you could use that to apply to what they do or don't do at the trade deadline. If this team's 11 games out in this division, they're not going to do anything. So if you can't show that you can compete with Milwaukee, then I'm all for, I'm not talking about big breakdown at the trade deadline, but certainly not buying anything. That's for sure.
Well, that's the thing, right? The idea that I don't like that all baseball conversation is kind of funneled through the trade deadline, because I think it colors how we talk about it, and it colors how we hear from Carter and Jed and all that. we keep asking them about trades when trades aren't going to happen. And it's like there's also like real issues to diagnose on the current team. But to your point, yeah, they're four out of the wild card right now. All right, fine, you're in it. There's also only two teams in the National League worse than you.
Right.
Yeah, you know, like, so
yes, okay, you're so last place team.
You're better than Miami, you're better than Colorado. Congratulations. Those teams are 29-52 and 27-53.
Right.
Among every other team that isn't objectively terrible, you're the worst of them. Reds, Nationals, Giants, D-backs, Pirates, Mets. None of them would be in the playoffs if it started tomorrow. Cubs are behind all of them. So, yeah, they're four out, but they're also seven teams out of the wild card. They would not even consider a bye if the standings were like this. Like if they were six games under 500, exactly. If they were six games under 500 and four games out of the wild card, but they'd have to leapfrog seven teams in August and September. Hell no, they shouldn't buy in that scenario.
And maybe I'm part of the cocky Cubs fans or greed is good. You set this new precedent. Like getting into the playoffs that way with this team obviously would take a ton to begin with, a pretty big turnaround. But I'm not about just getting there anymore. You got to show me the team that can win playoff games or win playoff series. And this team, this assembled unit, is not a team that I think could do any kind of damage in the postseason.
Yeah, it is a not even close, man. Like you said, who's the core of the team?
Right. Yes.
It's an interesting way of talking about it, right? So let's do that exercise.
Okay.
Real quick.
Pitchers.
Are you talking about not for this year, but you're saying like the next 3 to 5 years of the Cubs?
What I was thinking is that we're seeing what we thought was a core of players on this team, and now it's beginning to shift. So, you would have thought that Ian Happ was going to be part of this core. Dansby Swanson, who very well still could be part of it. I don't know if Christopher Morel is. I know that Justin Steele is part of it. I mean, pitchers are definitely a special category, but it does feel like that's beginning to change. Cody Bellinger certainly isn't going to be part of it. Is somebody like Michael Busch part of your core? Suzuki, is he? That's the name. Is somebody like Suzuki, who was supposed to be part of the next core of the Cubs, is he still even part of this core? Because he was a slam dunk core member for the Cubs going forward. And now I don't know that he is. I don't know if any of those guys are. So let's do it. Like
So Justin Steele,
okay,
is a part of your core.
Shota?
Yeah.
At 30 that? Yeah.
Yeah, until proven otherwise.
Okay, so Shota. And Justin Steele, they're your pitchers.
Yep.
I would leave anybody out of your core starting pitchers because not Assad, as he hasn't done it long enough, right?
He's been pretty damn good, but he's now hurt. He's now hurt.
He is hurt, and we don't know.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, like it hasn't been enough really greatness out of Assad yet to call him your part of your core.
Yeah, well, I mean, but he's done more than Shota. Because Assad was good second half of last year, and he's been as good this year.
On the overall.
You didn't pay him as much.
But the fact that we're debating, I don't know. Okay, we could throw him in there if you'd like.
Well, I mean, listen, or we could say that neither.
Steele for sure, Shota for sure.
Okay. I think that Assad probably deserves. Well, because, like, listen, I think Dansby for sure. Whether you like it or not.
7-year deal.
Whether you like it or not, you signed him to a $177 million deal. There's 5.5 years left of it.
Okay, put him down.
And he's unquestionably a leader of the team.
Okay, so let's just.
So you might not like every guy in your core, but Dansby is. He has to be part
Fair
of
enough.
It.
Okay, so Swanson is part of the core. Now I'm thinking about the rest of the. Nico? Is he part of the core? Because he was definitely a guy. To me, again, was a slam dunk part of the core for the Cubs. I don't know if he is going forward unless they could find home runs elsewhere.
So he's obviously playing poorly. He's young. He signed an extension.
Yes.
He's a very good defensive player up the middle. I can't see them trading him. Like, I don't think that they would sacrifice up the middle defense for what power hitting second baseman. Mm-hmm. Like, if you told me that they could get in your prime Robinson Cano, I'd be there. But like,
and they obviously like him a lot. Okay, let's put him part of the core.
I think he is part of it. Again, you don't have to love it, but I think
no, that's cool. No, I think you're right. I think you're right. So Swanson and Horner are definitely part of the core. First base is up in the air, right? I mean, that's...
Bush has been pretty good. They traded a big pitching prospect for him, but...
Who knows what he turns into? Maybe there's more development to him. Maybe there's another level, and he is 26, 27.
Yeah, like, would I bet on Michael Bush being on the Cubs 3 years from now?
Probs not.
Probs not?
Yeah.
See, I would say probs yes.
Oh, okay. 3 years from... right. See, I don't look at him as part of the core of the Cubs. Like, uh-oh. I just don't.
I don't know that we're defining this exactly. Like, if the exercise is who will be a Cub in 2027,
you still think Bush would be their premier first baseman, that you can't do better than Michael Bush?
No, I'm not saying that you can't do better than Michael Bush, but like, is he likely to be on the Cubs
just
in 3 years?
Cubs, maybe, but I don't like the idea of him playing the biggest, unless there's more development there and there's something that I'm missing. And yes, Michael Bush has been fine. I just think, like, back to our earlier conversation, it is the Cubs. They can do better with the money that they have. So I just don't know, looking in the future, if he's part of the core. I'm with you on Swanson and Horner. I'm skeptical about Bush just because there might be some more sure things that hit the ball out of the park.
Michael Bush leads qualifying Cubs in OPS right now at 795. I understand what you're saying. It's not a good core, man. Like, because Morel, I want to believe that he is, but they haven't paid him, and he obviously could be traded at a moment's notice if they think that the defense isn't sustainable and someone wants to buy in on that. He could be traded because he's not expensive.
Yeah.
So I hope that he's a part of the core because it feels like there's an offensive breakout coming for him, and he's been bad defensively, but he's shown the ability with the crazy arm strength to approach serviceable. Like, I think that he's got a chance to be average at third base. Not now. Doesn't look like
he's
gonna be
there
soon.
Now.
No, he's definitely not there now.
Right. And this is all about the offense for him. Can we make this guy into a service? It was like Kyle Schwarber. Can we just make him into a serviceable left fielder? And this guy is going to be absolutely fine there. But that does bring me to Pete Crow Armstrong. And just like trying to figure out what the Cubs' core is, like, he could be part of it as well. But I am, Danny, I'm having trouble figuring out what PCA is. I mean, we know some of what he is. We know that he can flat out fly. But is he, when he is fully there, a made man in Major League Baseball, if he gets there, what is he? Is there slug there? Is there more contact there? Or is this a guy who just does really exciting things defensively and is the second fastest guy in Major League Baseball as he has been clocked so far this year? I can't, because I had somebody call me and say, oh, you got to lead this guy off. And I was like, I'm not against that idea. I mean, but I don't know what he is. Is he really an eight hitter? Is he a guy who could hit fifth or sixth in the lineup? Is there more to him than what I'm seeing? And I am confused on PCA right now.
I am too, obviously. Having a couple of stand-up triples shows what, you know, in the last 10 days or so, it's like, okay, if he drives the ball into the gap, he can do crazy things, right?
Yeah.
He's got a couple of stand-up triples. He scored from first on a single. Like, there's his defense and his speed are elite traits.
Great arm, too. Yeah, which is part of the defense.
Part of the defense, right? Yeah. But so if he hits, he's an all-star. If he doesn't hit, he's a gold glover at a premium position.
So what is he, Ichiro? Like, at his best? guy who
I don't know about.
Like guy who didn't hit home runs but could turn just about any infield hit into a base hit. And I get it; he kind of was able to cheat from the left side of the.
Had like incredible bat to ball. Right, like he didn't strike out a lot. Got big swings and is striking out a lot.
But I guess, and you're right, I'm going overboard with the comp, but that's me trying to figure out what is he supposed to be? What's the blueprint for PCA? What are the Cubs thinking? And I don't know what they're thinking. Leadoff hitter? Like, is that the thing? Is that where if he does make more contact and strike out less, is that where they want him? I cannot figure it out. And honestly, it feels like with the way the Cubs have used him this year, they're a little confused too, because they put him back down in the minors for a while and he got hot and made his way back. He didn't begin the season with the team either, did he? No, he did not.
No.
So, and because of injuries, he came up early. So I think that they are still trying to figure this out and clearly still trying to develop this player.
Well, which is how it works for a young player. Like I still think that Pete Crow Armstrong is going to be a very good player. It's just a question of how the bat, right? The bat is the variable, but he's going to be a 10-year big leaguer. Speaks and I talked about this a while ago. Like they sacrificed defense at some positions to get offense, and then those players are not giving you offense. So you've sacrificed defense, like right? Like Saya hasn't produced like you're supposed to. He's okay and right, not great. Left field is a premium offensive position. Hap is not giving you premium offensive production. Third base is a premium offensive position. Morrell's been fine. Like, he has not been good. He has not been great. And he's been horrible defensively. Bush is, like, rounding. He's, like, been very, very streaky, young player, whatever. But, like, if the corners are your first base, third base, left field, right field, if that's your run-producing offensive thump, none of those guys are having what you would say are good overachieving seasons. Bush for a rookie is fine. 790 OPS. That's
for a rookie. Amen. Right.
A streaky. That's nine homer. That is a fine, good, promising rookie season.
And a good move by Jed Hoyer. That was a good move.
Yeah. Yes. But none of the Bellinger's not giving you slug. PCA's not giving you slug. Nico's not giving you slug. Dansby's not giving you slug. They're underachieving defensively up the middle. They're underachieving at those other positions offensively, and some of them defensively.
Yeah.
It's a recipe for a real bad team, man.
Right, right. And then in the meantime, that you are allowing PCA to be a guy who plays great defense but doesn't hit the ball over the wall. You mentioned the triples that he had. And I guess I am with PCA – I don't want him to be Albert Elmora, and that was the kind of fear comp that everybody talked about when he was in the minors, even because he did have the defensive part down, and then he did start to finally hit at the AAA level. But this was a lot of the same stuff with Albert. When Albert Elmora Jr. came to the Cubs, talked about what a great guy he was, what a great leader he was, what a terrific defensive player he was, but in the end, he didn't hit, and that's why he was not ultimately part of the core of the Cubs either.
You're right. I mean, PCA, I do think, is a much faster and better defensive player.
Way faster.
Than Elmora. Yeah. Yes, but yes, him not hitting is why you can only have so many damn guys in your team that can't hit.
Right, and I love the idea of developing, and like I like watching PCA, but can you afford that opportunity cost of guy playing great defense but not hitting?
So we have a pair of giveaways to give away this hour, and there isn't much time left, so you don't have to listen that much longer to get a shot at it. Listen for a drop from the morning show to get Mully and Haw live show, Blue Cross Blue Shield performance stage, Thursday, July 18th, 6 to 10 a.m., live studio audience, special guests in attendance. We got a pair of tickets for you to give away when you hear a drop from the morning show.
You can have a friend. Don't rub it in my face.
When you hear that, call the contest line at 312-540-0670. And then NASCAR is coming back to Chicago. The Chicago Street Race weekend is coming July 6th and 7th. Tickets and experiences, NASCARChicago.com, or call now for your chance to win a pair of general admission wristbands. They are good for Saturday, July 6th only. That's 312-540-0670. So NASCAR, Mully and Haw live. We'll hear a little bit more on the specifics of Cubs and Brewers from Carter Hawkins on the other side. Parkinson Spiegel with Grody on the Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.